Welcome to Water Talks coverage from ACE 17, broadcasting live from Philadelphia. ACE, uniting the world of water. Water Talk is made possible by WaterOnline.com, showcasing today's water industry leaders and innovators. And now, here is your host, Todd Schnick.
All right, good morning and welcome back to Water Talk. I'm your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Bill King. Bill, I love this company too. They do some great work, and this gentleman's been on the show several times. Always enjoy our conversations with him.
Yeah, very much so. And I think we're going to get into some conversation about reuse here, which obviously has been at the forefront, I would say, of this industry for the last few years. So really interesting to catch up with our next guest on that.
Let's do it. We're joined now by Jim Jackson, the Director of Municipal Sales with the Namazi Injector Company. Jim, welcome back, my friend.
Well, thank you, Todd. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Always good to see you. I appreciate you making time. I know you're awfully busy here today, so grateful for that. Jim, our audience is obviously familiar with Namazi, but take a quick second, tell us a bit about you, your background, and then give us that 10,000-foot view of Namazi.
Okay, well, it's interesting. This used to be my sales territory here in Philadelphia. I worked as a young sales rep for Betts Entech, part of Betts Labs, and Temple University was one of my customers. And right around the 1990s, I switched from chemicals to equipment out west, joining Namazi Injector to promote the use of ozone gas for disinfection and oxidation. And it's interesting how Namazi got into the ozone business. Originally, they made small plastic injectors for the agricultural industry, for pesticides and fertilizers. But the owner's Italian, and he noticed that a lot of Western Europe was using ozone gas. So he thought, someday there may be a market for injecting this gas into our drinking water system. So he started the gas injection business in the early 80s. 4 years after he opened his business, and now today we're doing municipal plants from 1 to 450 MGD and beyond.
Wow, wow. All right, so let's get into it now. So when and how does Namazi get involved in the operation of a drinking water plant?
Our involvement usually starts with an engineer wanting to add some type of gas to the water system, but they want something that's relatively easy to maintain, automatic. And the nice thing about our gas dissolution systems, it's really engineered stainless steel. So there's a lot of process engineering that goes into the design, not only of our gas injectors and our secondary gas mixing devices, such as pipeline flash reactors and basin nozzle manifolds, but we look at all the process piping itself and pay a lot of attention to frictional loss. We have a computational fluid dynamics department headed by a PhD, where we can actually statistically model the mixing of gas into water. And so we bring that to the table and act kind of as a partner to the consulting design engineering firm to design a gas dissolution system so that all the operator has to have the ability to do is to turn on the pump. That's it. That's all he must do.
And Jim, what are some of the biggest challenges that you see there in terms of some of the more recent water projects that you've been involved in?
Well, these water reuse projects have become very challenging. You know, in a drinking water plant, you're usually adding 1, 2, 3 parts of ozone. That's it. Very simple. Well, a lot of these plants are adding 20, 25, 30 parts of dissolved ozone. And that's a lot of gas to go into water. Unlike CO2 or chlorine, where the gas is 100% CO2 or chlorine, ozone gas is basically 93% oxygen with a little nitrogen and 7% ozone. So you have this large volume of gas to transfer a small amount of the volume that we call ozone gas. In these wastewater reuse projects, many times they'll pilot the systems, and then we use the pilot data to upsize the plant. And sometimes it's not upsizable.
Right.
Some of the way they did the pilot is not a method that you could use cost effectively in a full scale plant.
It does seem to me that, as you mentioned, you have that ability to help consulting engineers and the utilities themselves really look at the uniqueness of their own situation with the tools and the expertise that you're bringing. Is that the same on the reuse side that, as you mentioned, on the drinking water plant side?
Yes, because on the reuse side, many times for them to reuse the water, a good example would be the Pure Water Monterey project. They must meet certain drinking water standards, and regulators require multi-barriers, and in the case of Monterey Pure, the performance of the ozone system will dictate how well the plant runs. The reason ozone is at the front of the plant is it keeps the downstream membrane cleaner, the MF membrane, and provides more flux. That's more gallons per hour per unit volume of the membrane itself. And so failure of that system could basically shut the plant down, cause unexpected cleanings, unexpected shutdowns. That's been a very big challenge for us. When we got involved in that plant, we originally worked with the process engineer to design the full scale. He gave us the pilot data. Now, we assumed when he asked us to design to do something in the full scale plant, that they already proved they could do it in the pilot scale plant. Well, that wasn't exactly the way it went.
Mm-hmm.
In the pilot scale plant, they used high pressurized contacting. It was a serpentine contactor in which gas was injected, and gas was continuously mixed using a series of four static mixers at a water pressure of 30 PSIG, and higher water pressure increases gas solubility. It's inversely proportional. If you double the pressure, you half the gas volume, because gas is compressible. Basically, you're compressing more gas per unit volume of water with high pressure. And they applied 20 milligram per liter, and they got about 88% of it in the water. So now the full scale design, we have not 30 PSIG, we have 9 PSIG, and we do not have continuous mixing. And by the way, it's not 20 milligram per liter, it's 30. And gentlemen, you must guarantee you'll get 90% in the water. Okay, you couldn't get 90% using 20 at 30 PSIG, and now I have to get 90 at... So unfortunately, we had already accepted the job. I had the wonderful duty of calling up the engineering firm and telling them we couldn't do it as specified because of the discrepancy between the pilot and the full scale. And that's where we got our CFD department involved. They did computational fluid dynamics, multi-phase, and we looked at what we could do. Of course, the first thing I wanted to do, I said, hey, Mr. Engineer, can I have 30 PSIG in the pipeline? He said, well, you'll quadruple the pumping cost for the entire plant. It's 8.9 MGD. No, you cannot have that. I said, okay, cross that off my list. My support engineering staff said, maybe there's a way we could reduce dosage. We're not saying use less than 30. Maybe we can spread it out along the pipeline and have different gas dissolution zones so that at each particular part of the pipeline, we only put in a small amount of gas. So perhaps we put in with multi-injectors in this area, each injector is putting in around 5 or 6. And then we go to another part of the pipeline, we have another 2 or 3 injectors, and each one puts in 5 or 6. And if we do that, if we spread out the ozone into different dissolution zones, then perhaps we can improve gas contacting and get the transfer. And so we did our CFD model, gave it to the engineer, showed him our findings, and after the job bid, successfully changed the design. Of course, there was a condition that even though we were providing more equipment, since the price was fixed, we would not increase our pricing. And of course, we didn't. We think it'll be a nice showplace for our equipment. And so we basically doubled the injectors and the secondary gas mixing devices at the same cost we had on the original design. And that's currently under construction.
Yeah, that's...
So, Jim, so when you say you think it'll be a nice showplace, you're thinking that this is a, you know, you've obviously had to do a considerable amount of work to actually create the right solution, and you think this will be, you know, a great installation that you can then leverage for future installations?
Yes.
Is that how you're looking
yes,
at it?
Yes. In fact, I have to admit the work we did on this installation is really due to a kind of a bad experience at another installation where the full-scale spec This time it wasn't 9 psi of water. It was less than 6 feet. It was 2 psi, basically atmospheric. And, you know, if you try to dissolve gas in an atmospheric water system, you're not dissolving gas. You're splashing the water.
Right.
And so that was several years ago. We went along with the engineer. We didn't have the courage of our conviction to say it wouldn't work. We need to change this. And that was the wrong decision to make, because after it started up, this again, instead of getting 95% of the gas, and we had to get 96%, we could only get an 85%. What that meant to the plant is at full flow, he couldn't treat all his water. And so the water plant manager gets us all on the phone, contractor, Maisie, the ozone guy. Gentlemen, we have high-value clients, meaning rich neighborhoods,
right,
using the water. If I get walked out the door because of this, I'm not going alone. Well, we resolved that one too, but it's more expensive to fix a problem after it exists. You know, on the Monterey project, we made the changes before any equipment went in. So they're looking at it, and the first thing we thought of is, where does your water come in? Down there? So your water comes in at the bottom of the basin. I have 22 feet of water. Right. Okay. Why are we up here above the sidewalk? We think it looks nice. Okay. We started to think, and the contractor agreed, we're going to need to drop this to the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. I said, well, that's going to cost a lot of money and time. We're already late on construction. Maybe we better test that concept. In the meantime, our CFD department starts running modeling, and they say, look, we think we can make some improvements without initially dropping the pipe. We looked at the gas mixing velocity. If we can get higher flow to those nozzles in the pipeline flash reactor, improve the mixing, we think we can get more transfer. I said, great. You have to use the existing pumps, and it's got to fit in this space. How are you going to do that? He said, we'll make a custom injector. Okay, go at it. Well, I have to give them credit. They made a prototype, tested it, and then kicked out 5 custom injectors in 6 weeks.
Wow.
We installed them, and all we did is we took the injector pumps and moved it just a little bit to the right on the curve. Lower pressure, higher flow. We got our velocity. We got up to 90-91%.
Wow.
Plant manager said, that's good, but now I can still only treat 90% of my peak flow. Ultimately, we ended up putting an orifice plate to increase the working pressure by about 3 PSIG. We blew past the performance target of 96% transfer, got to 99% transfer, and as a result, they're actually running fewer gas injectors using less energy on the injection system than they would have with the original design. And although that was successful, they're now going to allow us to do the next 6 plants. I can tell you, having to fix it after the equipment's installed was not a lot of fun. But it sure taught us a lesson, and we now have the courage to tell engineers that this isn't going to work. We're going to have to do something else.
You know what? And Bill, these kinds of scenarios that he's walking through, they're common. There's always problems. There's always design flaws. There's always, not design flaws, construction flow. I mean, there's always problems that trying to make. Listening to you talk for the last bit about how you guys creatively solve some of these problems is really quite fascinating, and probably a credit to Maisie Injector. So,
well, it's also a credit to the contractor was helpful. The utility actually said, look, we'll pay for the orifice plate. It's cheap compared to what we're looking at. They threw some money into the pot. And so overall, it was a great binding experience. So everybody came together to do an engineered solution that improved the process of the plant.
Yep. Great stuff. All right, Jim, out of time. Before I let you go, should anyone have any questions on any of this, how do they find you, and where do they learn more about Maisie Injector?
They can reach Maisie Injector at maisie.net. And I'm Jay Jackson at Maisie.net.
Jim Jackson, the Director of Municipal Sales for Maisie Injector Company. Jim, great to see you again, as always.
Thank you, Todd.
Good luck with the rest of the show.
You bet.
All right, that's all the time we have for now. On behalf of all of us at Water Online and Water Talk, thank you for listening and tuning in. We're signing off from Philly for the moment, but don't worry, Water Talk will be right back.
This broadcast of Water Talk has been made possible by Water Online, showcasing today's water industry leaders and innovators. To learn more, visit wateronline.com. And we thank you again for listening.